Management Center.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning and welcome to the program. Today's theme is aspiration. There was a compilation on this theme published in Share International magazine in 2010, so I'll be reading most of the quotes from that, starting with one from Benjamin Krem's master from his article titled The Ending of Bondage. A new time is in the making, of justice, freedom and peace. In this coming time, the peoples of all the nations will see fulfilled their dreams and hopes of a better life, of meaning and purpose, of beauty and understanding, of right relationship and love. Each day will bring a new discovery, inner and outer, each hour an opportunity to serve. Thus will it be, and thus will each man, woman, and child glorify the divine in all of us and show in all its variety the many-sided beauty of God. When Maitreya emerges, he will seek to canalize the aspiration of countless millions who sense these truths but cannot give them voice. In him will they find a spokesman, eloquent and severe as circumstances require. Through him will they find their needs made known, the needs of all for a just and peaceful world. This process is already underway. At marches and demonstrations where the people call for justice, peace and sanity, Maitreya may be found in one or other guise, playing the part of the people and speaking in their name. His energy of love pervades these gatherings of the just and inspires them to further effort. His strength becomes theirs, and they feel undaunted and sure. In this way, the Lord of Love is turning the tide of hate, is potentizing the ardor of millions, and is finding that the people everywhere are aware of their destiny and are seeking the means to implement their heartfelt desires. This next quote is from Maitreya, from the book Messages from Maitreya the Christ, and it's taken from message number 31. When you see me, you will know why I have come, for I shall appeal to you in these terms. Save my little ones, feed your brothers. Remember that mankind is one, children of the one Father. Make over in trust the goods of the earth to all who are in need. Do this now and save the world. Thus shall I speak, so shall be my appeal. And when mankind has accepted this law, I shall declare myself. Many there are now who know this to be true, who desire to share, who long for brotherhood, yet act not. Nothing happens by itself. Man must act and implement his will. Today, that will is the will also of God. Therefore, the outcome is assured. My brothers, why wait for my appearance? Why sit still when the world groans, when men, women, and children die in misery, cast off by their brothers. There is no greater aspiration than the desire to serve. Make your act of service the saving of the starving of the world and help my plan. And that quote reminds me of the situation in Gaza at present. And for those of you listening in, just a heads up that there's going to be a nationwide march in support of Gaza this Saturday, starting at Britta Mart in Auckland at 2 p.m. Moving on to the next quote, this is from Benjamin Creme from his book Maitreya's Mission, Volume 2. If we are serious as disciples, we have to take a hand in our own evolution. The way we do that is to aspire. Aspiration is the force driving us onwards and upwards. It is really coming to us from the soul. Soul consciousness, the Christ principle, is the principle of aspiration. It is that very principle which brought the animals, then aquatic, out of the seas onto dry land, created from these primitive reptilian types the mammals, and from mammals the human kingdom. In that process, the initiating factor to a higher form, in every case, has been through aspiration. Aspiration results from the downflow of energy from the soul, because it is the soul in all forms which incarnates. The energy, the consciousness of the soul, poured down into the instrument, man, mammal, or aquatic reptile, brings about a response. With us, it is immediate, 18 and a half million years. In the animal kingdom, it takes countless millions of years. Gradually, over the millions of years, aspiration grows, responding to the call, the consciousness of the soul, which is pointing to something higher. You cannot say, of course, that the soul impresses on the sluggish animal creeping out of the sea, alligator or whatever, a vision of divinity. For the alligator, the vision of divinity is probably a fat person swimming. The soul, therefore, impresses the man or woman and they feel the pull. They reorient their thoughts, their way of life to this call. They become what the conventional world would call a better person. Not because the soul is good, because the soul is neither good nor bad, but because it is cutting down, refining the quality of its responses to life. And here's another quote from Mr. Creme, and this is from Volume 3 of My Transmission. The Master puts it so beautifully, each singly and solemnly alone will know for that time the purpose and meaning of their lives, will experience anew the grace of childhood, the purity of aspiration cleansed of self. The beauty of the child is that it has all the aspiration of a soul in incarnation, not in the slightest way sullied with skepticism, with cynicism. It knows that this is what is best for the world, it says. If there is illness in the world, it should be magicked away. Would it not be wonderful if we could magic away all the ills of the world? Every child wants and uses the idea of magic to get rid of the ills of the world, a totally unselfish aspiration. When the heart speaks, when the energy of the Christ flowing through the hearts of humanity awakens in each one of us that early, pure aspiration, the world will turn to him. This quote is again from Maitreya, this time from message number 82. My coming portends change, likewise grief at the loss of the old structures. But, my friends, the old bottles must be broken. The new wine deserves better. My friends, my brothers, I am near you now. I see above and around you your aspiration for love and joy. I know this to be widespread in man. This makes possible my return. Let me unveil for you your divine inheritance. Let me show you the wonders of God which yet awaits you. Allow me to take you simply by the hand and lead you to the forest of love, the glade of peace, the river of truth. Take my hand, my friends, and know this to be yours now. And back to Benjamin Krenn, and this quote is from his book, The Art of Cooperation. The very nature of life is change. It is essential. There is nothing more real in the whole of cosmos than change. Change happens, and you have no control over it, except in very minor ways in your own mind. The change that takes place as life finds new forms, new modes of expression, is outside your control. The first fish that came out of the sea and took up living on dry land experienced a change which it never contemplated. There is a mechanism we call aspiration, from which its very nature drove the fish out of the sea onto the land. It aspired to a different condition. The nature of desire is glamour, but at the same time, it is in every single rock and stone in matter itself. There is no such thing as dead matter. All matter is conscious. It is the consciousness of the atom, the desire principle inherent in every atom in the universe, that drove the fish out of the sea and onto dry land to become a mammal and, eventually, a human being. That process is envisioned by the Logos, not just as a physical possibility. It is envisioned, first of all, as everything is in energetic terms. The energies make it inevitable. So the change takes place from sea creature to land creature from the principle of desire itself, aspiration, the very nature of life. It takes courage to do that. Not all fish did it at first. They would go up to the edge and say, "Oh no, not me, it's not wet out there, how am I going to survive?" Then some fish came along and said, "It is dry out there, okay, here I go." So anyway, on to the next quote. And this again is from Maitreya, from message number 80. My brothers and sisters, take within you that which I am and prepare to see a new light. Hold within you that which I give and know the meaning of truth. Release within you that which you are eternally are and become gods. I am among you now. I see your dreams of trust and love. I feel your aspirations and hopes. I shall take these to my heart and accomplish them for you. I am your mentor. I am your highest wish. I am your clearest light. I am your heart's love. I shall take you to that blessed country which I call love. I shall show you God dwelling therein and evoke from you that divinity. Hold fast to your truth. Hold fast to your light. Hold fast, my friends, my brothers, to your love. Manifest that love and follow me. Here's a quote from the book The Art of Living by Benjamin Krenn. The key to this development is called aspiration. Everything that evolves from a grain of sand up to the most evolved being you could imagine, the most exalted angel or avatar you could visualize, has reached that point as a result of aspiration. There was a time when life lived in the sea. The seas carried the vast majority of the life of this planet. On the land areas, there were the beginnings of the vegetable kingdom, and some sea creatures came out of the sea onto land. It must have been an extraordinary experience for the first fish or reptiles that came out of the sea onto the relatively drier land. They had to learn to breathe and start moving in a different way. They had to learn to walk, clumsily at first, and then with great facility until they could run faster than a horse runs today. This did not happen by chance, but as a result of aspiration. It is difficult to imagine the aspiration of a sea creature to go onto the land, and yet without aspiration, it would never have happened. No change takes place without the aspiration for change. A change of that nature, from living in the sea to living on the land, is momentous. It was obeying an inner will, an aspiration for change, for betterment, for a higher state, for a perfection as yet undreamed of but felt as a possibility. We evolve in exactly the same way. Through aspiration, we have our idealism. We react to the energies which are sent into the world by the hierarchy of masters, the custodians of the plan, and in response, we aspire to change. We have a vision of a different and better, a more perfect state, whether that is political, economic, social, or scientific, cultural, or whatever. We evolve through this capacity to envisage something better, something closer to the perfection that we instinctively know is possible. We instinctively know what is in the mind of the Logos because we are fundamentally souls, exact reflections of the Logos whom we call God, the Logos of planet Earth, the heavenly man whose idea we are. In this way, we evolve, create new conditions. We can jump out of the sea and get used to living on dry land. And a quote here from the Master, "The key to this development is aspiration. Indwelling in all men is the desire for perfection and the urge to express the good, the beautiful and the true, the attributes of the soul. No one, however faltering in action, is bereft of this desire for betterment, however expressed." And we have time for another article by Benjamin Krim's Master. This is titled "The Pair of Opposites." Since man first emerged on Earth, his history has been one of conflict and strife, aggression and war. Seldom has there been a time when these tendencies have not been uppermost, until it would seem that they represent the essential nature of man. Yet, despite all evidence to the contrary, this is emphatically not the case. Why then does man present such a distorted image of himself? From whence comes this capacity for chaotic action and destructive violence? Man is essentially a soul, a perfect reflection of God. Through countless incarnations over untold ages, man's soul seeks to express its divine nature in time and space. Creating for itself a physical counterpart, the soul endows that with the means of evolution to its own perfection. Thus does the plan of God work out. The key to this development is aspiration. Indwelling in all men is the desire for perfection and the urge to express the good, the beautiful and the true, the attributes of the soul. No one, however faltering in action, is bereft of this desire for betterment, however expressed. That's a repeat, of course, of the quote just read out before. Indwelling in all men is the desire for perfection and the urge to express the good. In no one does this longing not exist. How then to account for man's aberrations, his violence and hate? The answer lies in man's unique position, the meeting ground of spirit and matter, and the tensions which their concurrence evokes. Man is an immortal soul plunged in matter, subject therefore to the limitations which that matter imposes. His struggle for perfection involves the bringing into total union and resolution of these twin poles of his nature. And we're out of time, so that's not the full article, unfortunately. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the program. Check out the website share-international.org if you'd like more information. Otherwise, wishing you all a lovely week.